We're going to look at, one verse to start with, Matthew 6:33. It'll be a familiar verse, possibly even to people, I don't know who aren't churchgoers or anything. Seek first his kingdom and righteousness. There was a song written about it that used to be quite popular. And people heard that song and everyone went, ah, nice song. And I wonder if we've really ever stopped to think what that means for us to seek first his kingdom and righteousness. So we're going to look a little bit at that today. And we're also going to look at what the words mean, by the way. Now, this is in Matthew's gospel. It's in chapter 6. And there's a load of stuff goes before it in chapter 6. And it's worth reading. Lots of stuff. And this verse answers quite a number of the questions that are raised earlier on in chapter 6. But I don't want to focus on those bits. What I want to look at is what questions, what challenges, and what opportunities does this verse raise for us today? That's hopefully where we're going to get to. It starts with the word seek. And you may think you know what seek means, but it doesn't mean that here. It really doesn't. It means there's another shade of meaning altogether in this particular passage. So if it doesn't mean seek, what does it mean? It means set your heart on. I'm not making this up, by the way. It really does mean set your heart on. So when you read that word at the beginning of that verse, put that in its place. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Set your heart on the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We are going to look at what that means. But just remember, set your heart on. I don't know what you're like, but if I set my heart on something, I really do all within my power to try and achieve it, or to try and get it, or to try and acquire it. That's what we do when we set our hearts on something. We are serious about it. And this particular scripture begins with a serious word. Set your heart on something. So, we'll change seek to set your heart on right now, and then we'll just go through and have a look at what it might mean. So, set your heart on understanding. That's the first level we're looking at. Set your heart on understanding something. We'll come to the something. Set your heart on experiencing. Not just understanding in our head, but experiencing as well. And set your heart on living. Living something out in our lives. So basically what we're saying is God is inviting us here to encounter him at the level of our head, our heart, and with our hands and feet. God deals with us as whole people and set our hearts on understanding, experiencing, and applying what God is going to say to us. So it's head, heart, hands, and feet. Seek first. I'm not going to go through just word by word, get a bit boring, but there's some important words that we're going to look at. And the second one is first. And basically, the kingdom, according to the Bible, according to what Jesus taught, for us who are Christians particularly, but this was advice to everyone who was listening to him at the time and who listens to him now, the kingdom of God, we will look at what that is, the kingdom is not one among many competing things for disciples. Jesus says it should be the thing that comes first. The thing that comes first in our desires that we set our hearts on, that we hope for and pray for. Somebody said, they who seek this first will soon seek only this. In other words, our lives become focused on this kingdom of God. So the question I believe that this verse asks us, or one of the questions is, what is our priority? Or what are our priorities in life? Remember the verse, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And it begs the question, what is our priority? What are our priorities? What do we set our hearts on in life, really? So, there's the two words, kingdom and righteousness. So, I mean, what are these, really? What are we talking about here? Because they're not really familiar terms to so many of us. Unless, of course, we remember the Lord's Prayer, either from church whenever we said it last, or school whenever we said it last, or wherever. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What a prayer. We're actually saying that God's will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. And it's to do with the kingdom. So we're saying, Lord, we pray that whatever your kingdom is, it would happen here. And when it does, we would see you operate here on earth just like you do in heaven, with power, with love, with glory, with all of that stuff, the kingdom. Right. The kingdom is where God's rule and reign is. And the kingdom is now, and the kingdom will be in the future. It'll change, things will happen, but we're talking about now. And the kingdom now means that we, as individuals, can say to Jesus, I want you to rule in my life. I want you to be in my life. And why on earth would we say that? What would we say that for? Well, we certainly believe that we were made by God to be in a personal relationship with him. He loves us. He calls us, those who follow him, his children, his sons and his daughters, and he wants us in a personal relationship. Why? Because he says we've all done stuff that separated us from God, separated us from each other, separated us from other people. The Bible calls it sin. And we can't do anything about it. We will find ourselves time and time again doing things that if we're honest, saying things that if we're honest, we don't even want to do. We wonder afterwards, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why am I like that? And the Bible just says, because we're broken. We are broken people and it's sin. And Jesus said, I'm going to deal with it for you. And that's what the cross was all about. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, I am doing what you cannot. I am paying the price for all that brokenness, all that sin, all that stuff that even you wish you didn't do, the ways you wish you weren't like, the things we do that we don't want to tell anybody about, we'll be mortified if they knew, all of that stuff. Jesus said, I am going to pay the price. I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to clear the decks of that stuff so that you can have a relationship with me. And the point at which we say to Jesus, yes, please come into my life. I accept what you did for me on the cross. At that point, we understand the kingdom of God because we become part of it. Because we become a person in whom the rule and the reign of God is a reality. And that's the kingdom of God as far as we're concerned now. There's much more than that, but for this verse, here and now, that's the kingdom of God for us, where Jesus reigns. And so the first challenge and opportunity it raises is this. Does Jesus reign in your life, in my life? What is our heart set on? So that's one of the first issues it raises. Righteousness, oh, there's a word. Righteousness basically means that we have been, by Jesus, put right with God. We're in a right relationship with God. You know, some people, I never asked this question, by the way, don't like it, but some people, particularly in America, try to scare people into being a Christian. Oh, where would you go if you came out of here and a bus hit you and you died today? Well, I got into a conversation with my son once, who isn't a Christian. He said, don't care. My older son. And because people forget that people, it's not an issue for them. But if you believe in more than this life, and I certainly do, I want a security. I want to know. And Jesus says, you can know. You can know that you're going to be where you're meant to be with your Creator, with the one who created you, the one who loves us. That's who you're going to be with. And we're in a right standing with God. You know, we can, how did I say this? Because the thought of, you know, if you believe in God, and I do, obviously, if you believe in God, then he knows, he's just, well, wow. Looking him in the eyes, if he has eyes, looking him in the eyes, knowing that he can just look straight into our hearts and our souls, and then knowing that he just sees everything clean because of Jesus. That's righteousness, by the way. That's what righteousness is, being in a right relationship with God, knowing that when he looks at you in the eyes and he looks at your heart, he'll just say, well done. Come on. That's righteousness. So kingdom and righteousness available here and now. Here and now available. We'll look at a couple more availables. Available in us, the kingdom, the rule and the reign of Jesus, being in a right relationship with our Father and our Creator, available here and now, in this place, right now, available in us, every one of us, and, this isn't selfishness, available to bless others. Because when we become kingdom people and start living, we're going to look at what a kingdom life might look like. That's where we'll end in a moment, believe it or not. We're going to look at what a kingdom life might look like. When we start to live as our Creator created us to live, we will be a blessing to people. We had a theme yesterday. We had a Leaders Away Day, and the theme of blessing kept coming up a lot. And the guy who was talking, it was a video watching, he said, we need to learn to be black belts in blessing. Too many people would rather just put others down, cut them down with words, gossip about them, talk about them behind the back. The Bible says kingdom people should bless others. And we're told in James, in the Bible, that with our words, with our mouths, we can either bless people and build them up and encourage them, or we can cut them down and curse them. Kingdom people are called to be a blessing. A blessing with the words, a blessing with their actions, a blessing with their attitudes, to build up, to encourage. Kingdom, righteousness, knowing the rule and reign of God, knowing we're in a right relationship with our Father here, now, personal to us, that we might become a blessing to others. It's to give away, folks. It's to give away. So Jesus said, he said, I've come to tell you about the good news of the kingdom. Come and try some. Come and see what it's like. And I would encourage, whether we're Christians and we've sort of stopped a bit like Debbie said earlier on, she stopped a bit in, you know, she was a Christian, had a relationship, but wasn't really moving on in that relationship. Jesus is saying, come on in a bit deeper. Come on in and experience a bit more of this kingdom. So what might a kingdom life, somebody who's really allowing and inviting the power and reign of Jesus, what might it look like? It's really practical, by the way. It's not, you know, namby-pamby spiritual up there in the sky stuff. It's proper practical. I picked some words out. There could have been a lot more, but I picked some words out. These are words that came up in our Leaders' Day yesterday about what it might look like to be a real kingdom-focused follower of Jesus. And the nice words, some of them. And we can sort of go through them at random almost, and because they paint a picture for us. I'll start with compassion, because that's a tough... Oh, Andy and I talked about compassion the other day, and we read from the Psalm earlier on. It says God is a compassionate God, and in the New Testament it says that we're to be like him, and he's given us the power through his Holy Spirit to become like him. Now, compassion, I won't even try to pronounce the Greek word. It's unpronounceable. It really is. It's unpronounceable. But it doesn't mean, there, hope you get better. That's not compassion. The literal word means to be gut-wrenched. Now, if we've ever suffered loss or serious illness in the family, it's that level of gut-wrench. So when it says 8 times in the New Testament, Jesus had compassion, it means he looked at a situation, some circumstances, or a person, and he was twisted up in his guts as if he'd lost somebody. He was gut-wrenched. That's compassion. Now imagine a world and a community where people had that compassion for each other. And the other thing about this word compassion is you can't have this without wanting to do something about that which is causing that compassion. And Jesus always did. He had compassion, he moved in, and he did something. He moved into the circumstances. And we are called as people of God, as kingdom people, to say to Jesus by his Holy Spirit, Lord, give us that compassion that twists in our guts until we do something about it. That's biblical Christianity. That's kingdom living. Which word should we do next? Grace. 1 Peter, each of you should use whatever gift you received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace. Now, grace, great word, lovely word. It's another one of those words we can go, oh, nice word, until we think about what it means and what the implications are for us. When we say God has shown grace towards us, it means basically he's given us all sorts of things we don't deserve. And then I go into churches and I hear things like, charity begins at home. What a load of... Yes. Yeah, God has dealt with each one of us with grace. He's given us things we don't deserve. He's blessed us in ways we don't deserve. How can we do anything other than go out and be a blessing to others, giving them what they don't deserve in a good way? By the way, in case I'm misinterpreted there, in a good way. We are called to model the grace that Jesus has shown us. That's normal Christian living. That's kingdom life. And we are to set our hearts on this. Grace. The flip side of the grace coin is mercy. Not giving us what we do deserve. Now, how many times is our attitude, ha, serves them right, they deserve that. If God treated us like that, not one of us would be here today. And he calls us to extend mercy to people. These are tough things, but if anybody honestly can put the hand up and say, actually, I think the world would be a better place with less compassion, less grace, and less mercy, well, put your hand up now. No, seriously, if you do think it'll be better where people are horrible to each other and nobody has compassion on one another and everybody gives everybody else what they think they deserve, of course it wouldn't. These are kingdom principles, and Jesus says, I have given you the power to live like this. We can choose to live like this as Christians. That's why we're given the Holy Spirit. Let's pick another word. Power. There's a good one. We're told in, I think it's Thessalonians or somewhere, and it's also in Corinthians, that the kingdom of heaven is not a matter of talk, but of power. God has given his people power. And that's why we pray for healing. I don't know why everybody isn't healed. I'm a Christian in spite of that, not because of it. I struggle with a lot of that stuff. But I do know, and many of us here do know, we have seen miracles where God, by his grace, has touched lives. And we've seen many where he hasn't. I don't know. I don't understand that. But I do know I have seen the power of God at work in people's lives. I've experienced the power of God at work in my life because God has given his people power through his Holy Spirit. It's power to do good. It's power to bless. Ah, oh, what else? Oh, love. Love's a tough one, isn't it? Love's a tough one. Love does not remember other people's wrongs. That's part of love, we're told. So it doesn't say, when you did that 10 years ago, it doesn't drag back wrongs and use them as weapons against us. We could read 1 Corinthians and look at what love is, and by implication, therefore, what love isn't. And it's part of kingdom living. So when we're saying, set our hearts on the kingdom, we're actually saying, Lord, I want to start and live according to these characteristics of the kingdom. I'll whip through forgiveness. Tough one, isn't it? Who here, if they've done something wrong, would rather be forgiven than punished? You can put your hand up. I'm putting mine up. Would you rather be forgiven than punished? It's good to see some people like punishment. We'll give it a go afterwards if you wish. Who here, when they are offended by somebody, always forgives them? In other words, who treats others always the way we would like to be treated by them? Hands up if you always do. You're lying, Terry. Nobody does. But we all are called to. One of the hardest scriptures, I think it is anyway, the hardest scriptures, Matthew 18:22. I hardly dare say it. If somebody sins against you, 70 times a day, forgive them every one of those times. That's what it says. Now, I'm sure they're using a bit of hyperbole or exaggeration to prove a point. At least I hope he is. But the point is, forgive. 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 Do unto others as you would hope and have them do to you. It's kingdom living. It's Christian living. Those are the principles of the kingdom. So when we say simple little verse in Matthew 6:33, oh yes, seek in the kingdom, we are saying, we are setting our hearts on being made like that. Humility. Hands up if you're humble. I know. Humility. Actually treating others as though they were better than us, treating others higher than ourselves. It's tough. It's a difficult one. But it's how we like to be treated by others. But we usually don't care about that. We'll just treat others how we want, expect them to treat us well. That's how the world often lives. Kingdom's different. The kingdom is very, very different. So the challenge, really, and the opportunity, the challenge is, can we say to God, hand on heart, or however we do it, I want to set my heart on living like this. I want to set my heart on these kingdom characteristics. And I want to set my heart on living in such a way that I'm a blessing to others. Now, we're all on this journey. None of us are there. Trust me, I know none of us are there. Well, I know I'm not. And I'm not that much different to most of you. We're not there, but who wants to say to God, that's who I want to be. That's who I want to be. If not, that's fine. But don't necessarily expect to get treated any better by anyone, because the world tends to have a way of working like that. Well, if that's you, I'm going to ask us to pray. I missed some of the words out. Worship is there. Blessing, expectation, peace. There's a great one. Peace. I know, maybe you do, but I know people, one in particular I've got in my mind. When he walks into a room, no matter what's been happening, there's just peace in the room. He's got a peaceful spirit. He's really got an intimate relationship with Jesus. He's got a peaceful spirit. Often when I'm busy and I walk into a room, it's in uproar. Honestly, I walk in, it's boo, like a whirlwind's coming. I don't want to be like that. I'd rather be the sort of person who walks in and there's peace. And that's part of my journey. And we could probably all identify with, you know, one or more of those. Say, Lord, please help me to be more like you in that respect or that respect or that respect. And imagine, the more people that are like that, the better this world becomes. The more people are blessed by Christians who will live in kingdom lives with kingdom characteristics.